and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one thinks gun, trees, lie to your face, fight. Social slide, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, cut, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I'm your host for the next hour. And I want to welcome all the listeners and all those that participate in the chat. It's a beautiful day today, and nice and sunny and reasonably warm for this time of year. Of course, it didn't break any records. This just kills me. You know, 2015 was the warmest year on record, and 2016 is shaping up to be even warmer. Well, you know, I check this weather forecast thing every now and again, and they're so far off the ball, it's nuts, you know. I don't have one of these things open right now, but I suppose I could open one up. But I think... last time I checked, the warmest day for today was in 1932 or 33, and the coldest day for this year was in a year earlier, or maybe it was in the 1800s. But it was within 2 years from the hottest day, the November 17th, to the coldest day, November the 17th. It was within a two-year span. So I guess that's what we call climate change. And what you call these other people are lying, perverse sickos who are filling people's minds full of absolute nonsense. Now, there's a few things I want to discuss tonight, but I'm just going to bop around here. I've got an hour. This one here, you know, we always hear about you have to be inclusive. You know, the West has to be inclusive. We have to roll over and accept whatever anybody else wants to bring to our lands and our societies, and we can't complain about it, because if we complain about it or we set off the alarm bells, then, well, we're racist. And we don't deserve to be part of the community. We're lower than low. We are inciting, you know, violence and chaos and all this kind of stuff. You know, and unfortunately, the public generally goes with it because, well, they're mind numbed. They're stupid. They were indoctrinated as children. They were turned into sheep. And they, whatever they're told to repeat, or to think, or to say. And so anyways, in Montreal, where they're banning, or they already have banned wood stoves, and in any new homes, developed homes, to cut down on fossil fuel emissions, or not fossil fuel, well, carbon emissions through burning wood to heat your home. We now have we have the premier of Quebec and the premier of Ontario hooked up with the, let's see, the governor of California, I guess, cutting carbon trading deals. Like a piece of paper is going to, this is all about the legal system too. Legal system deals in paper, not in reality. Deals in fiction, not in reality. And the people that run the legal system understand it completely, and it's not real. You know, if you buy and sell pieces of paper, this how somehow is going to save the planet from carbon emissions and CO2 being a life gas, of course. So they're trading against your life, I guess. But it's all bunk. It's always been bunk, but it's taught in the schools and the churches and so on and so forth. So people get sucked into it. So now we get along to this point, and fortunately, maybe not fast enough, but fortunately people are waking up. They're watching their pockets be picked more and more every day in order to so-called save the planet and save the migrants and all of this nonsense. It's World War III, fully engaged, being a spiritual and psychological war. So we're supposed to engage and embrace inclusivity, and we're all supposed to be one, even though we're not, even though Islam and Christianity are at extreme opposite poles. We're being flooded by Islamic migrants who are not interested in being part of anything other than what they're interested in. So there's no wish for to be inclusive or part of anything by these people. And nothing could be more on the button in this particular story, and that is that developer in Montreal is behind Muslim housing. Wait a minute, isn't that racist? If I'm a developer and I want to build white housing, well, would the papers jump on my back? Would the politicians jump on my back? Would the preachers jump on my back? Would professors in the university jump on my back and call me out? But wait a minute, this is different. These are Muslims. So a developer behind Muslim housing project in Montreal says anyone with shared values is welcome. Shared values of our society? No, shared values of their society. Well, wait a minute. Their society wasn't here. Well, no, but we want to take down your society, and we're using the migrants to do so. So anyone is welcome to live in the Muslim project, housing project, if they have shared values of the Muslims. Now, Nabil Warda says he just wants to make it easier for Muslims who believe that paying interest is a sin to buy a house. So last month, he had an email sent to members of the suburban Montreal mosque to gauge interest in a housing project with HALA financing agreement that would skirt the need to pay interest on a conventional mortgage. Radio Canada broke news. Now, I'm sure people are out there going, well, that sounds like a great idea. I don't want to pay interest. Well, no, you don't, and I don't. But that has nothing to do with Muslim. You see, the difference between Islamic and Christianity, or Islam and Christianity, is that, or Islamic State and the Western states, is the Western states are secular. The higher power does not enter into So they separate church and state, where Islam is a non-separation of church and state. And that's how they plan on coming into the West and taking it over. They don't recognize secular law. They only recognize Islamic law. Why? Because it's part of their religion. There's no separation there. So they come in and they say, you know, we've seen it in Europe. They just say, you see, maybe saw videos of police or firemen going into an Islamic area or Muslim area and being run out. Well, wait a minute, we were here first. Well, tough, we're taking over. We don't recognize you people at all. And therefore, you can't come into our neighborhood. And this is the same thing with this housing project. You're welcome in the housing project if you have our values. Well, wait a minute. All of our so-called society has been trashed by multiculturalism, which is agreed by the Jews that they created. Multiculturalism is a creation of the Jews, and that is to destroy nations from the inside, to water down a nation. It's genocide by the Jews. You know what I'm saying? They admit it. They admit they're behind multiculturalism. And the idea of multiculturalism is that you have to bend over to the wants and wishes and needs and give respect to people who move into your neighborhood who have opposing values. But if you oppose these people moving into your neighborhood because they don't have the same values, they don't share your values, and you were there first, well, you get called out. So now we have the exact flip here with the Muslim communities. You're welcome in our community if you share our values. Well, that's the absolute opposite of what multiculturalism and the Jews have done. That's to destroy neighborhoods, to totally and completely destroy neighborhoods. We've seen all kinds of neighborhoods that are white European neighborhoods, and then all of a sudden they're full of Sikhs and Muslims and people from other countries who don't integrate. Multiculturalism is not about integration. That's why I call it multiculturalism. And this is destruction of society on purpose. But now, here come the Muslims, and we want to build Muslim areas, of which everyone's welcome, so as long as you follow our rules. Well, wait a minute. Well, they could say, well, we're here first because it's our community. We built it. But you, who were already here, are not allowed to say anything like that because you'll be called out. And the pitiful mindset of the people in the West, your neighbors will likely turn against you. Did you hear that Jim and Janet don't like the new people moving into the neighborhood? Yes, I know. I think they're racist. Oh my God, they're racist. And all of a sudden, the people you say, hey, how's it going this morning? Don't want to talk to you anymore. So they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to hang out with a racist. So they don't want to get in trouble. Stupid, stupid, stupid people. So anyways, it goes on, and coalition Quebec leader, whose party is proposing a values test for all immigrants, described the proposal as an affront to Quebec values. Well, that's absolutely correct. Pierre-Philippe Couillard, who's the premier, speaking Tuesday in Morocco. Now, what's the premier of Quebec doing in frickin' Morocco? Okay? This is the other thing. They're using these people. They send the mayors to China, and they send them all over the place to influence them. A mayor has no business being outside their freaking municipality and or their province, which created the municipality. They have no powers outside of that. That yet they're being flown all over the world to these meetings. What for? To undermine the very people they're supposed to be representing. So, Guillard, Premier of Quebec, speaking Tuesday in Morocco, where he is attending the United Nations Climate Conference, somehow he's worried that non-Muslims would face discrimination. Now, either this man is a complete idiot. Well, he must be an idiot, or he wouldn't be at the United Nations Climate Change Conference, of which every sector of politics, religion, and education is pushing on the West. Somehow he's worried that non-Muslims would face discrimination. Yet he's the premier of the province that's encouraging people to sponsor in Muslims. Duh. At a time when restricting religious attire is a reoccurring theme in Quebec political debate, and when some municipalities have blocked proposals for new mosques, the proposed housing project could be seen as a defensive gesture. But Warda, the Muslims, said that is not the case. I didn't hear people say, okay, we have to go ahead and defend ourselves against these nasty Quebecois by going and living alone. This is not my motivation, he said in an interview. What he has heard are people who have been renting for 30 years and wish they had something to show for all the money. Although views differ about what Sharia law dictates for Muslims living in a society where mortgages are the norm, many refuse to take out loans that charge interest. A lot of Muslims have problems with the idea of interest, which in Arabic is called riba. That means if you pay more than you were loaned, you're doing something that is very, 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 very bad from the Muslim point of view. He said interest can be circumvented through an arrangement in which a house is bought by the bank and then the resident buys it back over time, paying a premium that is considered the bank's profit, but not interest. Same thing. Well, it's called a technicality for me as an accountant, but for the believers, it is not a technicality, Warda said. Similar arrangements have been used at Muslim housing developments in Ontario and Alberta. These aren't housing developments. They're Muslim housing developments. Now, if you tried to fire up for whatever reason, a white housing development, you'd get dragged through the mud. Everybody would be screaming bloody murder. But they have no problem saying that these similar arrangements have been used at Muslim housing developments in Ontario and Alberta. Well, how can it be a Muslim? I thought we were all supposed to be inclusive. That it was all multiculturalism. Hello. Arthur. You're dirty.
I am.
My good friend Arthur just rolled in. They've been renovating his friend's house there for a while, and they've been pounding on it, and he looks tired and he's been working really hard, which is a good thing. But he's not building Muslim housing. He's renovating a white guy's house, and it probably shouldn't be because, well, his friend's white, and that's wrong somehow. He said non-Muslims would be welcome. This is a killer. He said non-Muslims would be welcome to move into his project with prefabricated homes, but they would have to share the values of their Muslim neighbors. You don't drive drunk on the street. If you want to drink alcohol, you drink it in your house, he said. Women could choose whether to wear the headscarf, but they could not walk around in a halter top and shorts. There must be some modesty in the way you dress. You don't want women living there going half naked down the streets. We don't like that, he said. If they if they want to do that, then let them go and live in downtown Montreal. Now, we don't like that, he says. We, the Muslims, we don't like that. Well, I, and I think I'm safe to say mostly we, don't like these burqas. But we have to bow down to their way of living because that's their religious right. And the religious right, apparently, at least in Islamic law, trumps your right, even though they came to your land. And living on your land, you must follow their rules. And this is getting to be a big problem. And the problem I see is no different than the Jews. If I say anything that could be construed as negative about a Jew, like the Jews agree that they're the ones that fired up multiculturalism, basically to destroy societies, that I am somehow anti-Semitic or whatever, and I should be jumped on. If I say anything negative about Muslims or Islam, well, then obviously I'm a racist. But these parties that I can't speak anything that they would construe as negative, they can dump all over everybody else, and everybody else can't say anything about it. Or again, you're racist somehow. You're racist both ways. And people got to start to stand up to this nonsense. It is World War III. We are being invaded. And the deal is to take down the nation state, which is your home. And we better start defending against this. We can't just keep rolling over. Well, I don't want to get in trouble, and I don't want the neighbors to talk, and all this kind of, just get up off your frickin' knees and stand up. I mean, if it's good enough for the Muslims, then I guess, and I've built lots of houses. I've worked in setting up subdivisions. So I guess I'll just start setting up white housing. White-only housing. And the Muslims are welcome, but you can't wear a burqa, can't wear a headscarf, and you're encouraged to be comfortable in the heat of the summer, whatever that may be. So we're not racist. We want to include the Muslims, but they must adhere to our rules and regulations, and we don't like burqas, and we don't like women who apparently are enslaved in these ridiculous outfits. Now, where's that? How's that going to play out in the media? Not worth a damn. Not worth a damn. Now, it's interesting because I'm going to leave that alone for now. Well, let me just see if there's any comments on this thing before I take off. They've come out with a new rule, or they're working on a new rule. I think they came out with it already. The Chief Justices came up with this deal that certain things need to move quicker, and one of them is that the idea. Yeah, I don't see any comments here. How can there not be any comments here on a thing about the Muslims? That must just be odd. But anyways, back to Michael Schmidt for a minute, away from the Muslims. He's been dragged in and out of court now for the better part of 4 years. I think it's getting on, or will be 4 years, or just turned into 4 years since the famous sheep napping case, which is no case at all. So they've been dragged in and out of court for, call it 4 years, and they have done nothing wrong. It was the ministry that murdered the sheep, and the sheep were perfectly healthy. One gentleman agreed that he was the guy that transported the sheep away from the farm, that the ministry of Kill the Sheep, that's a new ministry of Kill the Sheep, they decided after almost 4 years not to move forward with his charges, even though he admitted wholeheartedly that he's the one that transported the sheep away from, to hide the sheep from the government so they wouldn't kill them because, well, they were perfectly healthy, which was shown to be true after they killed the sheep. So do they show any remorse for destroying this lady's sheep and her life, traumatizing the hell out of her? No remorse, because the legal system is amoral. So don't expect any remorse from an amoral system. So anyways, they tag Michael Schmidt because they've been chasing his ass for 20-some years over the milk and over his raw milk operation. And they haven't been able to do anything with him. So then they went after him for this sheep thing, this great sheep napping caper. And they're still after them. So this Chief Justice and that came up with this new idea that you shouldn't be able to pursue a case if you bring forward charges, or charges are brought forward, they must be wrapped up within a 4-year period or it's over. Now, I thought, that's kind of odd. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? I think I found the answer. I think I found the freaking answer. Now, if I can dig it up here, I've been sent things just before the show, so I got away from where I was. Where is it? Where did it go? I got to run down here and see if I can find it. I really want to find it. It's in these links somewhere. Let me see. There it is. Now, apparently, the police killed somebody back in 2012. And I think this is exactly why the chief justices, the judicial system, said that if charges have been brought forward and they haven't been dealt with or brought to completion within 4 years, then it's over. So we have a cop. We have a cop, I believe it is. I think it was a cop. No, I guess it wasn't a cop. Or was it a cop? I'll have to look into this. I thought it was a cop. Maybe not. Anyways, I thought it was a cop in here, maybe not. But anyways, parents of Fouad Niall joined protest outside Ottawa courthouse after murder trial halted. Ottawa judge stayed a first-degree murder charge early this week over delays bringing the case to trial. Maybe that's what they're going to do with the cop from that shot the kid on the bus. I don't know. But there's something very nefarious going on here. Now, Michael, they're still chasing Michael over this sheep thing. But somebody is up on first-degree murder charges, which is pretty serious stuff. And Adam Picard, 33, was charged with first-degree murder in the death of 28-year-old Fau Nael in 2012. And Picard had been in jail ever since without the case actually getting to the trial stage. Early this week, Nael's parents, Amy and Nicole, assumed they were finally going to get a measure of justice because jury selection was starting. They were crushed when the case was stayed by Ontario Supreme Court Justice Julianne Parfait, and Picard walked out of the court a free man. And that's ridiculous. There's something, I got to dig into this more, but there's something very, very wrong going on here. I don't know who these, I don't recall this particular case. But the family has something to say on it. It says, we don't count for nothing. Nicole said Thursday outside the courthouse that justice wasn't done in this matter. The scale tilted to one side, she said. We're victims. We had no rights. We didn't get any rights at all from the system, and I find it very, very unfair. They counted only how much he was unfairly in jail for 4 years. How about the victims that have been suffering for 4 years? We don't count. We count for nothing. The decision sends a message that we, that the system can be played, Nicole Nael added. So what kind of message are we sending? Outplay the system and go out free on the street. What's that going to do to our children? What's that going to do to our society here, she asked. We're doing this not only for my son, but for to get justice. But for every other mother in this country, I think they should support us and try to put pressure on politicians on what goes on in a courtroom. I didn't know what to expect. Now I know victims have no rights. So they go after the Attorney General, but the Attorney General can't tell the people that he doesn't have anything to do with the police or the courts. They're all arm's length things. He's really just a gatekeeper. The whole thing is as criminal can be. So the family plans to take the protest. Ontario General Yasser Nekvi on Monday. Now, he's most definitely not a European white guy. Said earlier this week that his ministry is conducting a review of the case. During question period at Queen's Park on Thursday, MPP Randy Hillier asked the Attorney General to review the culture of complacency that allowed this stay to occur. We know the minister has initiated a review of the case, but what is needed is a review of the culture of complacency, Justice Parfait indicated, Hillier said. How can a Crown object to a motion to expedite an already delayed trial? How can they prosecute thousands of minor, less violent crimes, but disregard murder trials? These are the symptoms of the culture of complacency, which starts and ends in the minister's office. The minister replied that the ministry is actively working on our justice sector partners to develop strategies to address issues of delay, both in short and long term. Steps taken so far include Crown assessing the status of cases at the Ontario and Superior Courts, and coming up with strategies to deal with cases in jeopardy, as well as a workshop held in September on planning responses to Superior Court decision on trial delays. The fact of the matter is that the judicial system is a complete, like everything else in our nation, a complete and total frickin' fraud. And, all you got to do is follow the pedophiles, and you'll see what I mean about a corrupt system. I don't look into that more, that one, because there's something very, very, very wrong. Now this is something I don't hadn't seen before. I don't know what a creep catcher is, but I'm going to find out. It says here that creep catchers bring vigilante tactics to Ottawa Valley. Well, I'm from the Ottawa Valley originally. Let's catch them. Let us catch them. Police urge vigilantes who post confrontations with suspected predators online. And this is exactly what's got to happen. The police take an oath to the crown, and the crown is, I'll just say it this way, evil. And so certain things get dealt with and certain things don't. Steal a pizza, you're going to get dealt with by the police. And, screw the people in the entire nation as a politician. And, well, they'll just turn a blind eye to you. So we don't have a justice system here. We have a system for just us, and us ain't us. Us or them. We're here to expose guys like you, Luke, or not, can be heard telling another man on a video shot last week in his hometown of Carleton Place, Ontario. Arnott is a tattoo artist and father of five. The other man in the video has come to the McDonald's parking lot off Highway 7 to meet a 14-year-old girl. You're here to meet Becky, aren't you? Arnold demands. The man can be heard saying, yeah, he was there to meet Becky. Before shouting expletives and leaving in his car. But there is no Becky. They come looking for us. The man was lured at the parking lot by Arnott and two other members of a group they call the Ottawa Valley Creep Catchers. The vigilante movement, with roots in Western Canada, has recently moved east. Members create online dummy profiles to catch the interest of their unsuspecting targets and lure them to meetings like the one in Carleton Place. They record the ensuing confrontations and post the videos online to publicly shame the suspected predators. They come looking for us. We don't initiate any contact, Arnett told CBC. And we show up and we expose them. Arnett said members typically use websites such as Plenty of Fish and Craigslist to post their fake profiles. The guy was like 30 years old, looking to meet a 14-year-old girl. His intentions were definitely ill, said Arnott about the video from Carleton Place, the Ottawa Valley chapter first confrontation. Let us do the job, police urge. And my thing to the police is, well, piss off. You, the police, have destroyed countless, absolutely countless lives of people who caused nobody any harm. But Ottawa police don't see it that way. If you suspect someone of a crime or have information on a crime, let us do the job. Let us catch them. You don't know what you're getting yourself into, Constable Mark Soucy of the Ottawa Police Services said. We don't know how these people are going to react when they're cornered. We're trained to handle these situations, so I would suggest you let the police handle these. In September, the two men who head up the Surrey, BC chapter of Creep Catchers apologized after the group wrongly accused an RCMP officer of being a pedophile. Local criminal defense lawyer Michael Spratt said the misstep raises concerns about the Ottawa Valley group. Guilty people may escape justice, do all the time. They're called politicians, preachers, teachers. They get off the hook real quick. Because they're part of the game. And we're the hunted. There's an important principle in our society, and that's people are presumed innocent until proven otherwise. And an investigation like this can catch up innocent people in a sort of vigilante type of justice, said Spratt, a part in the at Averill Goldstein and Partners. Spratt said even well-meaning vigilantes can potentially interfere with the court process if charges are laid in a case they've been involved in. Evidence can be tainted. Memories can always be vulnerable at the best of times. There can be severe evidentiary problems that these vigilante investigations can lead to, and that can imperil the actual court process. Well, we had one of the sergeants that falsely arrested us on the stand, and were questioning this, and they corrupted the files, just as the police are warning the vigilantes might do. There's all kinds of evidence of corruption. The police erased two cell phones that videotaped the unlawful arrest, but they don't see that as a problem. We have the police on the stand, the one that led the false arrest, asking them simple questions about what transpired, what unfolded, and so forth. He just kept his head down in the box and replied to questions with, I don't recall, I don't remember, okay, so you're an idiot, right? So this is the very thing they talk about. Well, this is what the vigilantes are like. Well, this is how the police operate as well. So it's like the police calling the kettle black or something, right? But Arnett said Ottawa Valley creep catchers have no plans to stop their work, and Mahat goes off to him. We're not going away. If anything, we're expanding, he said. I mean, I have kids that are coming up on that age, and where you know they could potentially be a target of predators like this, so it's definitely a big part in why I do what I do. It's a great sense of accomplishment exposing these people and getting them off the internet, said Arnett. Well, it goes worse than that, okay? Because here in Canada, they're dropping the age of anal or consent to anal sex from 18 to 16. And this is all part of the move by the government, which is the United Nations move, because all countries are member states of the United Nations. It was the most sick, satanic, Jewish-driven group of pedophiles and sick people who create war and drop bombs on innocent people and drive migrants into countries to destroy the nations from the inside. So here in Canada, the Justice Department, and now once again, has decided that maybe the age of consent for anal sex should be dropped to 16. This is not natural, to say the least. This is not a natural act, but then these are satanic dogs trying to destroy the minds of men, women, and children. And so for the police, they let us catch them. Well, how many police officers, how many preachers, how many teachers, how many politicians have been charged for pedophilia, and how many of them are involved in it that haven't been charged or are protected by the very system that's telling these Ottawa Valley creep catchers to stay away from? Who are they worried is going to get exposed? A teacher, a preacher, a cop, a politician? That's why they don't want these guys running around baiting these guys. They're afraid they're going to catch them. And they might just be a politician or a policeman or a preacher or a teacher. So our Ontario sex ed, young youth sex ed, teaching children about anal sex at the most ridiculous early ages. These children are not interested in sex, period, let alone anal sex, but it's being taught to them at a very early age. Why is that? And the fact that one of the big people in the education system who was working on this new sex ed project just happened to be a pedophile. So my hat goes off to people like the creep catchers for doing what they know they need to do, because they understand the corruption out there. They understand how ugly things are getting. And they understand fully well that the so-called authorities are not there to protect the common people. They're there to protect the higher-ups, the elites, whatever the hell they want to call them, but they're psychopaths, they're sociopaths, and they're harming people. And so to Mr. Arnott and his friends in the Ottawa Valley, which I am from, I take my hat off to you for doing what you do, because it is bloody well important, and because the cops ain't running around looking for that kind of stuff. They protect the crown. And the crown is the teachers, the preachers, the politician, and the police, and the military. That's who they protect. So there's all kinds of pedophiles in those groups. They're rife with pedophiles. The good, hard-working women and men of these nations, they're not running around buggering kids. They're trying to working hard, trying to keep a roof over their head. You won't see the hard-working men and women of the West asking the government, oh, hey, government, could you use our tax dollars, of which you are robbing us now, could you take some more of our money and could you teach our children at the most vulnerable, youngest ages about these crude and lewd sexual things? Could you do that for us? We'd really appreciate it. Well, we're doing it for the children, says the government. No, you're not. You're doing it to destroy the child. That's why you're doing it. Because you're amoral, satanic, sons of bitches. And you all ought to be rounded up. And I'm just waiting for the real men and women to stand up and finally said, okay, that's enough. We're rounding you up. We're going to herd you somewhere that you can't do any more harm. You can't steal from us. You can't destroy our children. And you can't destroy our nations. And if we got to house you somewhere, maybe somewhere, a big rubber room somewhere where you lunatics can bounce off the walls till you die, then so be it. But you have no place in a moral society. Nowhere. You can't be reformed once you get to the place these people are at. You can't be reformed. These are people who are liars, they're connivers. And we have somehow slid so far down that we do whatever they tell us to do. Oh, you get the odd protest spark up and that, a few parents and this and that, but they're instantly labeled as lunatics. And then the other people don't speak up because, well, they don't want to be labeled lunatics or troublemakers or racists or anti-Semites or any of that nonsense which holds people back and holds them down. Now, I do like the Ottawa Valley. I mean, I had a story told to me by one of my uncles just on the other side of the Ottawa River, which made me smile. Nobody was harmed in the incident, but some years back, apparently a female police officer from Ottawa area was moved up into their neck of the woods and started bugging everybody. Handing out more tickets for the most ridiculous things. A license plate light out, a tire tread who's not absolutely up to the standards of so-called government, but people don't drive around on tires that are going to blow out. They keep an eye on what the hell is going on. These are rural people. And they asked this cop, at least that's what it was told to me, they would ask this cop to just lighten up and back off, right? Nobody is harming anybody here, and there is no need for you to be riding roughhouse over people, handing them these nonsensical tickets. Well, that's my job. Well, not really, but I guess you think it is. And eventually she pulled over the wrong vehicle, and people had had enough of this lady and just stripped her naked and handcuffed her to her car steering wheel and said, there, smarten up. I try to be nice to you, and you're just being a pain in the ass, so just stop it. No, she was transferred out of there, and hopefully she got her head straight. But this is the same thing here with this other group, the creep catchers. So go get them, boys. Go catch them. Creep them out. Now, I was sent a video here just before airtime, and I only watched a little. I only had moments to watch this thing, but I'm going to stick it in the chat because it's called Protect Our Children and Get the Rope. Now, I was talking to one of my counselors here, who I should go talk to again, but he's a Mason, and he's playing the good, his job on the council is to be the antagonist for the other people that are pushing the agenda, so he disagrees with it all the time, but he's a Mason and a player. He knows exactly what the hell he's up to. And, you know, I was talking to him several years back about the corruption of the local council and the fact that they and the CAO were implementing UN Agenda 21, which is the demise of our municipality and the demise of our nation, was the enemy from within. And I said, you know, these people should all just be taken out back and hung. And this particular councillor agreed. But he said there isn't any trees back there big enough to hang them. And I said, well, then we'll turn it into a tourist attraction. And we'll just plant some small trees and then put the rope around them. And, you know, like a lottery, you got to guess when the tree is going to grow big enough to lift them off their feet. Or lift their feet off the ground. And he got a big chuckle out of that. He laughed. He says, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Well, that's coming from a Mason. So I don't know what that's all about. But anyways, this here guy, I don't know who this guy is, says Brave Goy discusses the rightful and just lynching of pedo Jew murderer Leo Frank about his kangaroo court trial, Goy agents for jury, and how things today are even worse today with shameful criminal pedo-ids like Jeffrey Epstein, like our brave ancestors who used a rope on the sick predators of their day. We are called to protect our children. And I'm going to stuff this in the chat. It's only, 14 minutes long. I'm going to listen to the whole thing after the show. He has some very insightful things to say. He most definitely doesn't pull any punches. This guy is coming out here, and it was published today, November the 17th. So it's just been published. I don't know how long ago. I mean, it was published today. I don't know. This video looks... It doesn't look, I can't tell if it's recent or not. Again, that's something I haven't had a chance to look into. But yeah, like the crypto creeks or creeps, whatever it was called in the Ottawa Valley, catching the creeps, creep catchers, I guess it was called. Someone like that, these people are starting to wise up and wake up and understand the corruption that is called government. The corruption that is called the police system, the corruption called the judicial system, the corruption of the education system, the corruption of the church system, is all culminated now. And they've pretty well exposed themselves for who they are and who they work for. and who they protect. And so it's getting interesting when these people are, they say, well, they're vigilantes. They're not vigilantes. They're just good men and women that understand the corruption of the entire system that encompasses the word government. And they had enough of it. And now they're going to take matters into their hands. Because these are their lands. These are their children. And they have every freaking right to protect those children. And they will do what needs doing. So this idea that, oh, let us deal with it. We're the police. Move aside, son. Go give out your ticket for a parking infraction or someone forgot to pay for a slice of pizza crimes that you people are so adept at dragging people into the courts about, when in fact you turn a complete and total blind eye to the real criminality going on. Why is that? Because you're part of it. You're part of it. So why would you expect you to do anything about it when you're part of it? So, anyways, I'm going to pop this in here. I hope I'm doing the right thing. Again, I have not seen this video. And I don't know who this guy is. I just listened to a little wee bit of it, and it's absolutely true. We have to... and here's another video. I better do this fast. Here's another video that I would like everybody to watch, because it's, where is our link here to the show? So I can get this one into the chat. And there's another one here that just popped up. I watched this the other night, and this one is extremely important, which just happened to come up in the sidebar of this video. So I'll go get the other one right quickly, and we'll be out of time here. But this one is George Soros. And this is a brilliant interview, because I have mentioned amoral so many times on this show. And here is an amoral man who agrees that what he does is amoral. And that, in fact, because what he does is amoral, he has no feeling one way or the other about all of the people that he has destroyed. The lives of all of the people that he has destroyed mean nothing to him, because it was an amoral act that was carried out. And this is from the words of George Soros. So I want to thank George Soros for explaining the difference between amoral and moral. And your government, by definition, the legal system, by definition, is amoral. That's why your government can walk in and destroy millions upon millions of innocent lives and have no remorse about it whatsoever. This is who we're dealing with. And we got to get the moral side back, which means we got to rock the boat, because we're living in an amoral world, and we have amoral leaders, and that's the nether world, and we need to rock the boat to get it back up into the real world, the moral world, or nothing's ever... So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank you for sending me links. And back Saturday night over in Revolution Radio.
Selling lies and buying time. Killing people, that's in line. Lower classes, social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre. Truth on the Tracks. You can catch every Monday night and Friday.